Welcome to the Rechoice Podcast.
Ever been stuck on repeat? Do you rehash stories in your head? What was the message of that story? And is it true? Perhaps it's time for a rewrite. What is your Rechoice word?
My Rechoice word is remix.
Regenerate.
Recenter.
Reimagine.
Welcome to Season 4 of Rechoice. Real talk about moments our guests chose differently. You can read more at rechoicepod.com, but now it's time for the show. Today's episode, Reaffirm, is very special. It's the third last annual DOL Beach Week. We're on the Gulf Coast in Alabama, celebrating Mr. Dave Warnock. I first heard of Dave when he was diagnosed with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, 4 years ago. The average lifespan after the onset of first symptoms, it's only 3 to 5 years, and there's no treatment. There is no cure. You can hear when Dave and I first met on the Rechoice podcast back in season 2. Check the show notes. This episode was called Reboot. That show centered on Dave leaving the Christian faith after 35 years as an evangelical minister. He talks about his participation with the Clergy Project in his first 2 years post-ALS diagnosis. You'll also see a link for when Dave later spoke at our Unitarian Universalist congregation, All Souls Community Church of West Michigan. But you know what? Today's episode, it's about dying out loud, both now and after Dave's life. Reaffirm means to validate or confirm. So throughout the interview with Dave, you'll hear from several others who chose to walk up to the second floor of the beach house, stop by a table that had a microphone, and simply hit record. They will reaffirm their special relationship that they have with Dave and Bevan and what this moment has meant to them. So please welcome to the show, Mr. Dave Warnock.
Hey, Dave, we're recording.
Let's record.
Fantastic. Dave, thanks for being back with us on the show.
Yeah.
It's been a couple years.
Has it?
It's been a couple years of friendship, but this is our first time face-to-face.
Face-to-face, in person.
I got to hug your neck.
Yes, you did. I got to hug yours. Well, sort of. I can't get my arms up.
Dave, where are we right now?
We are in Gulf Shores, Alabama at the third last annual DOL beach trip.
We are celebrating, aren't we?
Yep.
So what's the third annual last? What does that mean?
In about a week, it'll be 4 years from my diagnosis of ALS. At the time, I didn't know how long I had. You know, it could be a year, 2 years, 3 years. And here we are on the fourth year. And so I wanted to have one last blowout at the beach, which is my favorite place on the planet, which all my changes were there, as Neil Young said about a song, Helpless. And it's a special place for me. And I wanted to have a bunch of my friends down to a big house on the beach and just have a big blowout for a week. And we did that February of 2020.
Yeah.
And then we skipped it in 21 because of COVID. And we did it last year, bigger and better. We had a bigger house, more people. And then this year, we're doing it even bigger. And instead of 1 week, we've had 2 weeks. And over the course of the 2 weeks in the house, offsite, a total of 72 people will have been here. So
dang,
it's huge.
Well, and at this moment, everybody is downstairs eating dinner.
Baked ziti,
I think, made by Sheila, I believe.
Mm-hmm. From Pennsylvania.
Sheila from Pennsylvania. And actually, that's another thing to say. When we say 72 people, we're talking from all over the place.
Oh, from Maine, California, Washington, Texas, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Minnesota. Yeah, all over the country. Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's funny that everyone would come together and said, dying out loud. Yeah, that sounds fun. I want to give some time up so I can go die out loud.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
My name is Alice Gretchen. I'm from Los Angeles. And I want Dave to know that watching him die out loud has impacted the way that I want to live out loud and not hide so much. I'm incredibly inspired by your bravery, your humor, your love, your grace, your chuckles, you, your empathy. You're one of the most empathetic people I've ever met. And I love that you can see the humanity and goodness in so many. And I love you.
Hi, this is Matt Delahunty from Austin, Texas. I'm here at the third last annual beach trip because I missed the second last annual beach trip and because I greatly admire the strength and courage of Dave Warnock and his process of dying out loud. I don't know that I would have those qualities in similar situations. When I missed last year, it was because I had had open heart surgery. I was in the hospital for 4 days and recovered over a period of months. 4 days in the hospital, 4 days on narcotics, 4 months recovering, and now over a year later, I'm doing about as well as could reasonably be expected. I was able to face the possibility of death without a moment's fear because my odds of recovery were incredibly high and because I had done everything I could do and the rest was out of my hands. Dave faces death with just the outside possibility of stretching life out a little longer. He smiles, shares his thoughts, and helps countless others going through similar struggles. I wouldn't have missed this year, and I hope we have a fourth last annual beach party that I'm also able to attend. Because every new day that Dave gets is a gift to him, and every day that he's still dying out loud is a gift to the rest of us.
Since last time we talked, you were writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that status right now?
Well, I released the book a little over a year ago, February of last year, and it's out on Amazon in paperback, hardback, ebook, and audiobook.
And that is called Childish Things, so check the show notes for that. Dave, I loved it.
Did you?
Number one, I love that you read the audiobook, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that was a treat. What did you learn by reading your whole book?
You can't do it when a jet plane's flying overhead.
No.
Or when a dog's barking in the neighborhood. A lot of starts and stops. No, I felt like it was important for me to read my memoir in my own voice.
Yeah.
That it had more authenticity to it.
Yeah. And it, you know, I thought it was a real good cultural book too. You know, yeah. It really placed you in the time period of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. I've had people tell me that it was kind of a walk through history of the last four decades, just different things mentioned like the Vietnam War and 9/11 and Y2K and things that, you know, were earmarks in history.
Hi, it's Becky from Pennsylvania. I know Dave. I met him at NanoCon last summer through my friend Sheila. I have to say, it feels like I've known Dave a lot longer than just a handful of months. Immediately, he just was so welcoming and invited me right into the group. And I just really appreciate the invitation to be here at the beach. It's been an amazing couple of days. I mean, I came down really just to spend some time with a couple of folks that I had met and meet some new friends. And I have to say, I'm just blown away by this community and how open and welcoming everybody is. And just being able to spend time with people who have been through similar experiences and really have a lot of shared history. Even though we've never met each other before this week, it just feels like there's such deep connection in talking through how there are those similarities and just the hope of what we want to make our lives moving forward and that kind of shared resilience. And I mean, I guess I'd like Dave to know, I just appreciate so much being here and being part of it's almost a family, which is kind of funny to say, even after just a couple of days. And Dave is just so magnetic in bringing everybody together. You can see that, I mean, people just gravitate towards him and he just has a gift for pulling everybody together. And yeah, it's just pretty magical to be part of a group of people who really don't know each other, but just it feels like we have known each other for much longer than a couple of days. It's just a really awesome experience. And a bit overwhelming in such a great way. Yeah, it's just so clear that everybody who's here loves Dave. And it's just a really awesome place to be when you're around a group of people who share similar values and outlooks on life and trying to make the world a better place. And it's just really hopeful and encouraging and loving. And it's just all the things that I want to keep experiencing.
Hi, my name is Samantha, and I'm from Scarborough, Maine. I know Dave from YouTube. I had never met him before I saw him on there. And I could tell that he was a man of great worth and value. So I started supporting him, and he contacted me last year, and I came to the beach house last year. That's why I'm here again this year. I said last year, and I still hold to it, that if there was a heaven, it would be like this. These are a group of like-minded people, like Dave. People filled with love and caring for others. People who aren't phony. People who you know you can trust. And people that you want to be with. I guess that's why I'm here. And I'll be here as many times as I can.
For people who this is the first time they've ever even heard this, what's the book about?
It's my life. It's a memoir. The title is a play on a scripture in 1 Corinthians. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I know some Christians would find that offensive. But too bad. It's my story. If you don't like it, write your own story. But to me, letting go of faith and stepping into reason and logic and out of fairy tales and mythological books, old books written about mythological figures, and living in the real world. It took me 3.5 decades to open my eyes to that. But once I did, it felt like I was putting away childish things and living as an adult.
Hey, everybody. This is Marit Ingebretson, and I'm from Pasadena, California. And I met Dave at a Sunday Assembly meeting where he was speaking pre-pandemic. And then I spent some time with him in Los Angeles for a couple weeks after that. So Dave and Bevan, I want you to know that I adore both of you, and I think about you often, and I'm so happy to join you here at the beach. It's been an amazing time with an amazing group of people, and it's all because of you. So thank you.
Hi, this is Angie J, and I am from St. Louis, Missouri. I feel so grateful to be a part of this beach week. I feel so grateful to have met the amazing humans that I have here. And I'm also grateful because Dave connected me to other humans way before this weekend. And through him, I found community and hope. The chaos of this world, when you no longer believe in an ultimate designer, is really fucking scary, actually. People like Dave, who are brave enough to talk about everything that is a part of this experience of losing your faith, it helps to have other voices that light the way, that show us a path to better, to happy, to surviving, to overcoming, to being stronger than the church ever fucking said we could be. So I am super grateful that I met Dave through podcast interviews, that I had the opportunity to meet him in person, spend time with him, to just be a part of it, to just even just be adjacent to all of this has been an honor. I'm thankful for every interview that I listened to that helped me find words to tell my story. I am grateful for every person that Dave put in my path that I'm connected to. This is the first time that I've been able to be a part of the beach trip. I don't know. There's something special about this beach week. There's something incredible about a group of humans who are gathered together to honor life and the fact that it is so fleeting. Every part of this has been magical, and I don't believe in magic because I believe in science, but that's the word that I have. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
that also meant, of course, with the onset of ALS and that diagnosis. I know that that's detailed in the book as well. Mm-hmm. One of the things we discussed last time was making moments happen. I think we talked about skydiving last time. What is a moment you've had since then?
Skydiving was pretty big. One thing I had wanted to do was scuba dive. I'd never done that, and I'm not able to by myself because I can't even pinch my nose to breathe out, you know, to clear my ears, and you can't go underwater unless you do that. And so I needed help. I needed to find an adaptive scuba diving outfit. And so I linked up with this group that provided that, and we went to Hawaii, not only scuba dove, but jumped out of a helicopter into the ocean to get to the scuba diving. We got on the boat, went out, got the tanks on, went underwater. I got down about, I think we were down about 60 feet. And it was fun and great, and I was having a blast. And then it got almost surreal because the team brought me an octopus they had found, and apparently they're you know, quite common, and they're easy to catch, and they're not really, you know, we didn't hurt them. It was very easy to handle it without endangering the critter. But they brought it to me, and he wrapped his arms around, his tentacles around my arm, and I just played with that octopus for 15 minutes in the wild, not in some petting zoo, but in its own natural environment. And it was just a beautiful moment, one that I'll cherish. Bevan was with me, and so we've got pictures and video of that event, and something that when I'm gone, she'll have that moment to look back on and cherish the rest of her days. It was pretty spectacular.
There's something about water too, you know, yeah. Water of, and I've been able to really see this all week, limited mobility at this point, but underwater, was it a little different?
Yeah, I could raise them, you know. I can't raise my arms now because of the ALS in my muscles there. But yeah, underwater, you're kind of weightless, and you know, it's a different world that you're in. It was nice.
Hey, Charles and Lisa Parrish at Beach Week 2023. I met Dave on his balcony in Nashville. I was in town for work, and known some of these guys virtually through the Everyone's Agnostic podcast. Connected with Cass, and he invited me over. My first impression of Dave was walking into his living room, seeing a pillow on his couch that said "Carpe the fucking diem," and that set the stage. He's my cigar buddy since. This is our third beach week. I've been on several of our kind of cabin retreats as well through the Everyone's Agnostic group. You know, went on a cruise with Dave. Lots of experiences. I think of things I've already told Dave before is, you know, having my father navigate hospice last year, his motto of capturing the moments was very resonant with me as I was walking with my evangelical father through that period. And a lot of my energies went to trying to capture as many moments and creating as many moments as I could. And each time it happened, it was an inspiration with Dave in mind. There was one moment with my dad, just he and I, where he was really coming to grips with his hospice care, where we thought he was dying. He ended up coming through, but where he was really coming to grips with it. And there was a comment that Dave made a couple years ago where he was saying something along the lines of knowing that you're going to die is like being at a party that you have to leave early, and knowing you can enjoy your time at the party, but knowing that you have to leave early and the party goes on is one of the harder things. And I remember saying that to my dad, not knowing how he would connect with that analogy, and he just shook his head in full agreement. It definitely resonated with him. Lots of stories to share of the influence that Dave has had on my life and how I've been able to hopefully extend some of those insights to those I love. And I love Dave.
Wow, that's that's a lot to follow. This is Lisa. I come to Beach Week because we love Dave and we love the people here and we love the relationships we develop here, and we look forward to the moments that are created with the friendships that we've developed here are with this community and with the people that Dave knows. We feel fortunate that
we get to build on those relationships each time we get together, and everybody kind of gets to pick up from where they left off and build a deeper, longer friendship. And I think I'm grateful for the lesson of Dave of capturing the moments. And anytime I think we get to where, are we going to go this time or not? Because often it's a long drive for us. We remember we never regret going, and we want to capture all the moments we can. So we try to say a lot of yeses. We've already decided next year we won't be driving to the beach. We're going to be flying to the beach.
All right. So what are some of the things you've seen people doing here this week? Yeah, at the house.
A lot of laughing.
Oh, yeah.
We just had a little gathering. And
talent show.
A little talent show. One of the friends from Maine did a stand-up routine. And then another friend from Texas did a magic show. And it just blew the crowd away. It was a lot of fun and laughing. And just one thing I've really enjoyed is watching people come together that never had met before and never would have met in any other circumstance other than joining Bevan and I here at this house. And to me, that's a special, special time to see people come together and become friends and share stories. And most of the people here, with a few exceptions, are people who have stepped out of faith like me. These are the people I've gotten to know around the country. Sometimes we'll be at a speaking engagement, you know, recently in Cincinnati and another one in Minneapolis. And we got to know people there and decided, you know what, we should invite them to the beach house and they would fit in well. And sure enough, you know, here they are and they're getting to know each other and they'll go away from here being friends.
I have new friends. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Judy and I from Michigan didn't really know anybody here. This has been awesome, Dave.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Hello, I'm Eric. I live in Nashville, and I met Dave Warnock about 7 or 8 years ago through the Clergy Project. I went on their website after I joined Clergy Project to find someone in the area, and I saw Dave's name and reached out to him. Met him in a far out of the way coffee shop, and from that developed a friendship that has included our meetup group in Middle Tennessee. People who are very close to me. And Dave is the connecting point for that, including my partner, Stephen, who I met through our group. And I'm at the beach week because I love Dave Warnock and I love the way he helps us live in the moment, seize the day, be present. It's not about the quantity of your days. It's the quality of your days. Thank you, Dave. You've taught us a lot and I love you, man.
Okay, hey, it's Kate. So this is my second time to get to come to Beach Week. I almost didn't record because I don't even know how to put in words what it means to me to be able to be in a group of people like this. But really, only a person like Dave could bring together a lot of people from diverse backgrounds that get to meet and share thoughts and commonalities. It's more than that. It's just a life approach, really, that I appreciate hearing at a really important time of life. I think to hear that message to seize the day and live for today, not tomorrow, to be present today. And I just really appreciate that. It means a lot to me knowing Dave. Had the opportunity to have fellowship at this level of something I can't find back home.
My name is Genevieve Swilly. I'm 30 and I'm from Frederick, Maryland. I'm the G in that GD show with Dave Warnock, if that gives you a hint of how I know Dave. I met Dave completely randomly. He found me. He found me on TikTok, a platform that I had boycotted for years before inevitably joining and making content. It was about 2 weeks after I made my first video about being an atheist and about grief. And he said he thought I was brilliant and he wanted to do a show. Obviously, I said yes. The first time I met him in person was this time last year. We'd already been doing the show since September. I'd spent hours talking to him every single week. And coming down to Beach Week in 2022 was the first time that I got to give him a big, long hug. Dave is not just one of my best friends, but he's like a father figure to me. And he came into my life at a time when I really, really needed one. And I want you to know, Dave, that you inspire the shit out of me every single day. And words don't really do justice to describe the love and affection that I have for you. I'm so grateful, and little tongue-in-cheek here, I'm so blessed to have you in my life. Just like every single person who is lucky enough to know you, we're so lucky. Thank you for changing my life. I love you.
I know that this is the third last annual. We're already planning for the fourth last annual. You'll do this as long as you can. I think you and I even discussed, too, wouldn't it be great if this even lives past?
Yeah, I'd love it.
But there is an organization for sure that's going to outlast.
Yeah, that's the goal.
So where are we at with that? And well, what's it called?
It's called I Am Dying Out Loud, which is similar to what we've been doing for the last 4 years, is what we've called Dying Out Loud, just an organic thing that sprung up, which is me with my message of grabbing the moments and carpe the fucking diem and those kind of things that I've been talking about for this time. But as we're forming a nonprofit foundation called I Am Dying Out Loud. And the reason we changed it, one is we couldn't get the website for the other, but I Am Dying Out Loud is more of an emphatic statement saying I am, you're owning it. And you're saying that I am not only going to live on my own terms as a free thinker, as a humanist, as an atheist, however you identify. In other words, I'm not going to let another agency, a God or another person or a religion, dictate how I live my life. Neither am I going to let them dictate how I die.
Yeah.
Or how I usher into that death, how that ending. I'm going to write my story to the very end. And so the mission statement of the organization is simply this: to enhance the quality of life by removing unwanted religious overreach in the process of healthcare, dying, and death, and to provide bucket list moments like the octopus experience to people diagnosed with a terminal illness, specifically ALS, but possibly reaching others. And we want to push back against the religious implication of religion in the process of healthcare, where they send you a chaplain, even if you haven't asked for one, where they ask you which religion you're affiliated with in the intake questionnaire. Those shouldn't be questions that we have to answer as non-religious people. And so we want to change the nature of the default position of religion in the field of healthcare, death and dying.
I know there are people here who are already experienced some of those things that maybe not everyone thinks of. So what are some other examples where you feel like people have been overreaching?
Yeah, my friend from Pennsylvania, in the last moments with her mom, in the last day with her mom dying in the hospital, trying to just have a special moment with her mom.
This is Sheila Hoover, and I want to share how I know Dave. I met him at the American Atheist Conference, and I walked up to his booth, and I thanked him for everything he was doing, and I told him that he was an inspiration, and I also shared a story about my mom, who had, at that point when I met Dave, she had died 6 weeks prior. And I told him a story about how there were nurses, not one, but two nurses in the hospital that were proselytizing to my mom. One nurse was speaking over her in tongues in her last hours of death. Basically, they weren't supposed to do that. I told him how it affected me, and it made me so angry that I had left the hospital to collect myself. And when I came back, she had already died. We talked more about that. His partner, Bevan's mom, died a couple months before my mom did. I was able to connect with Bevan over that. The next day, we actually went to lunch and got to know each other better. Kept contact through that time to meet each other again in Nashville. We all went out to Fat Bites. It's a really cool bar, and we closed the place. We started talking about him wanting to start a nonprofit, and I wanted to do everything I can to see that come to fruition. As I am recording this, it is in the works. Dave and Bevan invited me to the beach. I am very grateful for that opportunity to meet like-minded people that are so beautiful, so authentic, and genuine, non-judgmental, and welcoming.
and were so kind enough to share their stories with me, particularly about their stories of leaving religion or their religious trauma. It's even more inspiring to know that they have all been through these challenges caused by religion, that we keep religion in its place. Dave, I love him. He is funny, a smart ass, kind, and truly loves watching people get together and share stories and connect. He is truly a Cupid in that manner, and I appreciate him so much for that and for welcoming me into his big extended family, the people that he has chosen to be that family. I am very grateful to him and to Bevan for allowing me to witness their time together and their love for each other, and also the challenges that they face, how difficult ALS has made their life, but also has made them both realize they want to live it to their best of their ability. And that is my story. I'm so glad that Dave's a part of it.
And she's forever traumatized by that. And she's also written to the hospital a letter of complaint asking them to change their policies and procedures so that would never happen. That should never happen. And that's just one example of many. After I spoke at the Secular Coalition for America in D.C. a few weeks ago, I had several people come up to me with examples of similar things. This is not an isolated experience. It's a very commonplace, and it needs to stop.
My name is Mike Sass from Minneapolis, Minnesota, a frozen hellscape that is about to get 20 inches of snow dropped on it, which is total bullshit. And how do I know Dave? So I reached out to Dave about 6 months ago. We do a little organization in Minneapolis that is all about just trying to get cool people to come hang out with us, which in hindsight sounds a little bit creepy, a little bit weird, especially when one of these people gets an email from me asking them to come to my house and just hang out. Dave was naturally skeptical, but thankfully we had Seth Andrews over just a couple of months prior. Dave called Seth and said, "What's the deal with these guys?" And Seth's like, "They're fine. It's literally a house party." Dave goes, "It's not some sort of weird sex cult, is it?" Seth said, "If it was, I wouldn't tell you." But he came and Dave hung out with us. We had an absolute blast getting to meet him. He invited us down to the beach, and my wife and I, Sawyer and I said it would be absolutely stupid of us to not take him up on this opportunity and come down and hang out and meet some really, really cool people. So really want to let Dave know, first and foremost, thank you. We've made such great connections here, not just with him and Bevan, but all these other people that we've met. So many fantastic people here at the beach house. Dave, thanks for being an absolutely fantastic human. You've touched a lot of people, and I think the number of people that are here at this beach house having a lot of fun is an amazing testament to that.
My name is Rachel Hoover. I'm originally from Hershey, Pennsylvania, but I now live in Southern California. And I actually just met Dave on this beach trip. And I met Dave through my mom, Sheila, who met Dave through atheist conventions. Even though I just met Dave, he is really one of those people that you feel like you've known them for a very, very long time. And that is how Dave made me feel when I met him. And so him and Bevan have just been so lovely to interact with and talk with, and honestly, just such a beautiful relationship to watch. And they truly have made me feel like I have known them forever, even though it has barely been 48 hours. Dave is a special kind of person, because it takes a special kind of person to create such a beautiful community, and not just any community, but one that has similar values and is open-minded and has open arms to all new people and walks of life. and really makes everybody feel like they are close to him and close to each other, even if it's been a short amount of time. It's just so respectable that Dave is unapologetically dying out loud. And it's something that I deeply respect and has brought so much insight in my life and has just truly made me appreciate the people in my life and everything else in it to an extent that I truly didn't before. It is very clear that Dave will leave behind a beautiful, beautiful legacy because he is in the midst of it right now and is a walking legacy in all of our lives. And we love him and appreciate him for that. Him and Bevan are very easy to love and talk to, and I will just forever be grateful for the ways that him and Bevan have impacted my family, you know, for the better, and have the friendship and community that they've been able to cultivate. He's very, very loved, and I am at the beach to enjoy time with him, appreciate the time that we have with him, and to really be present in the beautiful community and group of friends that he has created. And none of us would be here if it weren't for him bringing us together. So I am here to celebrate the beauty of that and appreciate every moment and express my gratitude for the impact that he has made on all of our lives.
You've got some more events coming up in the future as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. We've got plans to speak. We're going to be at the American Atheist Conference in Phoenix in early April. I don't know that for sure yet if I'm speaking there, but I'll probably be on a panel at least talking about death and dying. And then we're going to be at the American Humanist Conference in Denver in the first weekend of May. We're going to be at the Secular Student Alliance in St. Louis in late June. I don't know the details of that, dates of that yet. Several of the conferences coming up later in the year. But yeah, we're starting to, you know, there's a conference for religious freedom that I'm speaking at. I just got the word on that just a couple of days ago in Washington, D.C., where, you know, different people come and talk about religious freedom. And to be clear, if someone wants a chaplain at their bedside, if someone wants someone to pray for them, we're not opposing that. You knock yourself out. You pray yourself away. We don't care. You do your thing. Just don't impose that on people.
It's the impose.
Yeah. Don't impose that on people who don't want it. And don't imply that they probably do. That shouldn't be the default position. We shouldn't have to push back against that. We shouldn't be put on the defensive. And so that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Or in the case of somebody being not in a position to even push back on that,
yeah,
right?
If they can't speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it puts a family member in position. And it's just religious overreach, and it's unnecessary and really unconstitutional. It's against our American freedom.
Hey, my name is Stephen Barry. I am from Nashville. I am at the third last annual Beach Week thing. I've been to everyone. I've known Dave since 2016, and Dave has been such a big catalyst for change in my life. He's also been a friend and a lovely person to be around. I met him on Facebook at a time when I was looking for secular community. Fast forward years later, I'm living in Nashville, and I connected with him and many other secular people and ended up meeting my partner in that group as well. And there's just been so many domino effects from me meeting Dave, connecting to the love that he has for me and for everyone. I've been riding with Dave for a while, and I'm going to keep riding with Dave. So I want Dave to know how much I appreciate him and how he sees the world before diagnosis, after diagnosis. He's just continued to share himself with the world and completely be himself. Just embody a representation of what it means to be a human, Just one big ball of love.
Hey, anything else you want to say about either Dying Out Loud or just what we've been doing this week?
Man, this week's just getting started. I know you got to leave.
I got to leave early, but...
We got more people coming
in. You know, I'm already planning next year.
I know. We're going to do it again.
So, Dave, I love you, man.
Love you too, buddy.
Thank you.
You bet.
My name is Joe from Grand Rapids, Michigan. When I originally reached out to Dave in December of 2020 and inquired whether he'd be on the podcast, he immediately said, sure. Of course, now I realize he wasn't preparing for Beach Week because of COVID. But, Dave, you invited me to be a part of the second anniversary Zoom party, complete with games, and after about 3 hours of that, I could already tell this was a group I could be myself with. I'll let go of everything else that's been said, but simply add this. Dave and Bevan, thank you for really showing us how to love and live better, and thank you for allowing us to love you back. I may not have washed your feet, Dave, and you probably wouldn't have liked that, but you did allow me to help you take several sips of bourbon, and I got to hold your cards for poker. Y'all, Dave's really good. You allowed us to feed you and create a stogie stand so you could smoke. And throughout all of this, you made us laugh, and you made us feel valued. At this moment, I know you're still celebrating, and you're pouring into the next round of guests at the beach house. So, Dave and Bevan, a sincere thank you for your loving hospitality. To conclude, Marilyn and Todd attempted to record their thoughts, but instead thought we should quote the lyrics of a famous Amy Winehouse song. To know him is to love him. Just to see that smile makes my life worthwhile. To know him is to love him. And I do. We love you, Dave. Well, that's it. I hope you enjoyed this trip to the beach. I'd like to thank everyone who attended the first few days and chose to add their voice and their talents to this special episode. Order of appearance: Dave, Alice, Matt, Becky, Samantha, Marit, Angie, Charles, Lisa, Sheila, Mike, Rachel, Stephen, Marilyn, and Todd. Check the show notes for a link to Dave's book. In fact, if you made it this far, email me at rechoicepod@gmail.com for your chance to win one of three free copies of Childish Things, courtesy of Rechoice. I will do a random drawing on March 4th, which will mark the end of the third last annual DOL Beach Week. Listeners, regardless of your personal beliefs, I hope hearing this reaffirms the value of finding true community and seizing the day. I hope it also reaffirms the importance of telling those you love that you love them. So do it now. And wherever you are in this life, seek authentic people like the ones Judy and I found at the beach this week. People who welcome and accept you, stir and inspire you.
For all things podcast related, head over to rechoicepod.com, where you can see photos of our guests, check out our merch, send us feedback, or even pick your own Rechoice word.
We can't thank our supporters enough, whether that's from our patrons through Patreon or from a one-time tip through Venmo. You keep the show up and running.
For details, check our show notes and select Support the Show. We appreciate the virtual high five.
Thank you to my son, Danny Pellerito, for producing our music. And listeners, thank you for stopping by.
Reframe your past, renew your present, and reclaim your future.
Because after all, it's always a choice.
Take care and see you next time.